Good morning and welcome to God Talk. Today, I would like to read and comment on a couple of chapters that I wrote from a book that came out a few months ago, written by an organization called Writers on the Avenue. The name of the book is Climbing the Hill of Life, and it's a book, as it says in the back, to celebrate the resilience of the human spirit and marvel at the many twists of life's journey with these stories, poems, essays, and images collected by Writers on the Avenue. Anyhow, it's meant to inspire and uplift, and so I would sure like to do that for you today if you're listening in. Surely most all of us could use a little bit of inspiration and uplifting, especially on Sunday mornings, eh? Anyhow, the first essay, they're brief, relatively speaking, is on hope that I wrote. So I want to talk about hope. And I don't know about you, but there's not a day that goes by that I do not require a healthy amount of hope. So here we go. I will read and then make comments as I go. The thing about hope is, it always wants to have the last word. Ever noticed that? In a conversation, it offers almost as good an impact as the profession of love. Hope expressed to another, if received and accepted, is like sharing the same oxygenated atmosphere. Hope grows exponentially when shared. Think about that. As you share with a friend something and both of you take that oxygen of hope in, it strengthens it. And where there's shared hope, there's unbroken relationship. And a little bit of hope goes a long way. Actually, a little bit of hope may be better and easier to manage than a lot of hope. Because when you have a lot of hope, you know, what comes with it is higher expectations. And the higher your expectations, the greater the dashing can be. The greater the hope, the greater the dashing. Years and years ago, at a moment of a loss of hope about whether this book I wrote would ever be published, and just kind of where things were going, it was published in 1986. And that's another whole story. I should tell you about that sometime. It's a good book. Anyway, four words came to me. They just bubbled up. For me, they were words of God, because that's how I heard it. Four words, and I've used them time and again. I've reminded myself of these words. I've taught them. I've seen the impact of these four words. I remember a friend of mine is a very successful businessman in Des Moines who put those four words on his computer screen. He said, I need to be reminded of that every day. Expect less, accept more. Let those four words trickle in. Expect less, accept more. You know, turn from the focus on the expectation to the focus on acceptance. Connected with that is another four words, which means a lot to me also. And I taught our kids, under promise and over deliver. Have you known people who did the opposite, over promised and under delivered? How do you feel about those persons? The same thing with hopes. It's better to, you know, put your hopes down a little bit. Don't let them go, but don't raise them up too much. Better to under-promise and over-deliver. Hope we do. Hope we must. I think it comes with being human. Alexander Pope had it right when he said, hope springs eternal in the human breast. That's a great old aphorism, but it's true. Hope is as essential to the soul as oxygen is to the body. If you lose all hope, Your soul would go under as surely as your body would expire bereft of oxygen. Little aside, the times in my work when I have been with people who were suicidal, they had lost all hope. They'd come to believe that everything was hopeless, which is a lie. It's not true. Okay, yet you need not lose either hope or oxygen. All you have to do is breathe, and the atmosphere around you will supply the oxygen. Just so. All you have to do is to risk believing in life's fundamental goodness and chance breathing in pure hope in some unexpected, yet unseen, yet undefined good fortune that could be around the bend or just around that next curve. And the shrouded spirit surrounding your soul will mysteriously supply you some of hope's sustaining power. One thing I used to do when I was teaching at Muscatine Community College and the course on world religion is I would teach a breathing exercise, a 10-minute breathing exercise, meditation, prayer, call it what you will, and had some remarkable results. I would have the students breathe in peace and breathe out resistance to peace. But we could also do it with hope. Just, I could invite you to take 10 minutes today at some point. Don't change your breathing the way you breathe, but just simply when you breathe in, like oxygen, just breathe in hope. Doesn't have to be hope in this or hope in that, because we don't always know where the good news is going to come from, but just that little bit of hope that it's going to come. Breathe in hope, and when you breathe out normally, breathe out resistance, disbelief, doubt, hopelessness. Breathe in hope. You know, you'd be shocked at how that works. I remember hearing a Madeline Manning Mims story on the Today Show some years ago concerning an experience she had in a Tanzania refugee camp years ago. She was is a former Olympic gold medalist for the United States, and the story was included in her book, The Hope and the Glory. Anyway, she was working at a Tanzanian refugee camp assisting Rwandan refugees seeking safety and life's necessities. If you remember, it was during Rwanda's horrific genocide when in just a matter of weeks, more than 1 million people were slaughtered. On this particular day, it was cold and raining hard. The camp was somber and mostly silent. An intense Rwandan woman, 9 months pregnant, came up to Madeline and asked her the same question repeatedly. Again and again and again. Finally, she got an interpreter. And the interpreter said that the woman who had run over several hills for several miles during several days to reach that camp, if you can imagine doing that at 9 months pregnant, she was simply asking if she could get a blanket, a tent, and some food. Madeline told the woman to hold on for 2 more days when supplies were set to arrive. As soon as the woman understood Madeline's words, she raced over to a nearby tent, put her head inside, and said something to a Rwandan man. He ran from the tent and began passing the word. People started streaming out of their makeshift tents. The rain stopped, and the sun came out. Children began to play, and new life buzzed throughout the camp. Can you just picture that? Everything changed before her eyes. What her single sentence had injected into a pregnant woman and then into an entire refugee camp was hope, a little bit of hope. Hope shared is hope strengthened. Hope best belongs between us, my friends, upholding us as persons and as participants in whatever venture we find ourselves sharing. Hope comes with the territory of being human. It turns out that we humans have to have a reason to exist. Something to hope for, something to believe in, something to look forward to, something about which to have passion. As the philosopher Nietzsche said, a person who has a why to exist can accept almost any how. A person who has hope in tomorrow can more readily bear the afflictions of today. So I remember Parris Island, South Carolina, 12 weeks in Marine Corps boot camp in 1963, 12 weeks of hell. But every morning, or most mornings, when we marched to breakfast, there would be the Greyhound buses picking up Marines now having completed successfully their 12 weeks of boot camp and going on to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, for infantry training. We breathed in that lousy smelling air of the gasoline, but it was hope. We knew the day would come when we would graduate and get the blank out of there. A little bit of hope. So for years after that, whenever I would smell, you know, the smell of a Greyhound bus type vehicle, it just made me smile. I remember. Hope is essentially relational. It is always hope in, hope for, some end which involves someone or something else. Hence, hope literally binds the hoping person or persons to whatever goal is sought. Could be something as simple as winning a football game, as I saw yesterday when the Titans came back and miraculously beat the Kansas City Chiefs. They had hope. Hope anchors us to a longed-for tomorrow and keeps us moving forward. Hope also readies us, actually, to receive the better tomorrow should it indeed arrive. But just imagine if you didn't believe it anymore, if you turned your back on it, if you were hard-hearted and you were not open to receive what actually was coming. It was there. Now you got to open. And hope does that. You see, hell is hopelessness. When you enter hopelessness, you enter hell. And when you enter it, even if you see what you want, you have no hope of attaining it. Hell is hopelessness worsened by living in a world in which others still have hope, still believe, still dream, still strive, still enjoy, where you can't. Oh, that's hell. Where hopelessness debilitates and alienates, hope rejuvenates and reconnects. Believe it or not, to exit hell, all you have to do is breathe in a little hope. You can always, always risk hoping again. You can. I've been with people at the point of their killing themselves, stopping it, just seeing them breathe in a little bit of hope that they wouldn't always feel the way they felt, that that was a permanent solution to what's a temporary problem, that they really didn't want to kill themselves. I just didn't want to be in that pain anymore. So we could move together to another place. Risk hoping again. Even if what you hope for alters, as it often does, that's okay, due to changing circumstances. If you should find others who share in your hope, you will attain a living, supportive community right there. Shared hope is more difficult to extinguish and more readily rechargeable. Final thought. In the end, and this is where I live, hope is in God. I don't know what's going to be tomorrow. I don't have to. My hope is in God. And God will never ultimately disappoint. This or that hope may be dashed, but in the end, all will be well eternally. That is the final Christian hope. And at that point, let's get a weather report, shall we? Well, I'm going to turn from hope to the next essay again, reading and making comments as I go, so you're never going to know. Is he reading what he wrote, or is he talking about it? This one's on gratitude. Oh, gratitude. So I could ask a question: for what are you grateful? Today, at this time, I'm going to ask that throughout this section. For what are you grateful? Supposedly, Oprah, who's a magnificent person and does so much, she has a gratitude book, and every morning she begins her day by feeling grateful, looking to see what she can be grateful for. For what can you give thanks today? And do you do that daily? If not, why not? What holds you back? Well, unfortunately, I must tell you, I'm one of those who tends to focus more on what I do not have rather than on what I already possessed, on what it is I need to do rather than what it is I've already done, on what it is I want rather than what it is I have. I treasure passion and desire because they keep me fully alive and functioning. I was just talking about passion with a friend of mine a couple of days ago at our gymnasium. He too is retired, and he used to do artwork, and we talked about the importance of passion. You know, I'm writing, I've got another book coming out. I'll tell you about the books I'm writing and I've written. You got to have passion. I treasure passion and desire. They keep me fully alive and functioning. Each morning I think first of what I will seek to do that day before giving thanks for my many blessings, and I have many blessings, for loved ones and physical and material well-being. As psychologist Abraham Maslow, one of my heroes and one of the most important psychologists of the 20th century, discovered after nearly dying from a heart attack, upon his release from the hospital and his return to meaningful life. And this again is one of those things I just never want to forget. We tend to overvalue what we do not have and undervalue what we do have. Apply that, if you will, to your own life. Like people complaining and asking, well, are you ambulatory? Excuse me. Are you able to get up and walk? Well, yeah, of course. Well, there have been times in my life, you know, when I had my hip joints done, I couldn't. We undervalue what we have and overvalue what we don't. Anyhow, back to Abraham Maslow. Grateful to be alive, as he left the hospital, he realized with a force of revelation just how seriously he had undervalued or taken for granted his prior health. He also recognized how profoundly important were his wife and his children, more than his work, but his work mattered too. Maslow now marveled at the beauty of nature and the gift quality of daily life. It's all a gift. It's all a gift. We just assume it's there, but it's not. It's not. I tell people at 74, and they look at me funny like, what? I say, I'm old enough to have seen how my life turned out. Yeah. What a sheer gift it is. Maslow finally understood that everything in life is this gift from his body to all of his relationships. And he never forgot these lessons. But he went on to help many to recognize the myriad of gifts life offers us if we're only awake enough to see grace all around us. And what is grace? Grace technically, biblically, means an unmerited gift, typically from a superior to an inferior. It's all a gift because of who God is. You know, it's not whether we are lovable to God. It's God's nature to love. That's kind of important. So we need to let God love us rather than think we deserve it, because whoever deserves that? But it's there anyway, and we need to be grateful. Next question. I love these questions, these little thinkers. Why do we spend so much time criticizing something for what it is not, rather than giving thanks for what it is? you know, maybe the meal isn't whatever it was you were hankering after. Maybe it's not the ultimate prime rib, whatever it is. But you know what? Peanut butter and jelly sandwich for me, that's a great sandwich. Don't criticize it for what it's not. Start by being thankful for what it is. Everything is a gift from an unknown giver. God meant to be received and blessed by our very pleasure in it. See, gratitude and grace come from the same Latin root, gratis. You know what it means? To be pleased. So if you are pleased to give a gift to a friend or loved one, and they are pleased with your gift, doesn't that please you? Yeah. Or what if they push the gift aside and say, is that all you got? Oh, yeah, you're likely to give them another gift? The ancient sages had a doctrine that they called sufficiency. This is cool now. Let's listen to this. Which applies here. The main idea is this. Whatever good life offers you is actually sufficient to your needs. You may not, or it may not be sufficient for all your wants, but it is definitely sufficient for your actual needs. Oscar Wilde, wonderful comic writer, maintained that the two worst tragedies in life were these: either not getting what you want or getting what you wanted. Though meant humorously, there's much truth here. So few of us get everything we want, but surprisingly, most all of us get what it is we need. And getting what you think you want may not be what you really need. I remember once I wanted to be the next Marlon Brando, the great actor. Thank God that didn't happen. I thank God for the life I got to live and still do. People in poverty learn how to live with the sufficiency model of life. While still wanting and striving for more, they nevertheless learn to be thankful for what they do have, especially their family and friends. I remember the shock to a group of youth for a church I served outside Des Moines. We went down to Nuevo Progreso, Mexico, back in the 90s, helping the Mexicans to build a church. And the shock of these spoiled young youth at how happy these kids were. And they had nothing but little huts, dirt floors, and they were happier than the Americans were. Go figure. There are also interpersonal benefits connected with gratitude. Feeling grateful, this is just the science of it here, psychology. Feeling grateful increases feelings of closeness and desire to form or strengthen relationships with a benefactor. Someone showing gratitude prompts us to appreciate their good characteristics and to draw closer to them. Gratitude definitely improves your mood, especially the positive mood toward the person who has shown grace and goodwill. In one important study, participants were asked to remember a time when another person had assisted them in an exemplary fashion. Interestingly, the mere act of contemplating times when another person had helped them resulted in the participants expressing a desire to do likewise, to grow morally and to help others. Wow, what goes around definitely comes around. All right, it's a small little, I know, it's one of these little tiny things I enjoy doing. When I go to Aldi's, you know, you got to put a quarter in to get your cart, grocery cart. Whenever I can, when I leave, I give the cart to someone's coming in. You know, they'll typically like reach to hand me a quarter and I'll say, no, pass it on. And they look at me funny. No, just do the same thing, you know, pay it forward, pass it on. And then I almost want to kind of be around to see if they do that or not. But being grateful encourages people to do something good for others. Gratitude surely has important benefits to society as a whole. There are a number of personal benefits associated with gratitude. Grateful persons are generally more agreeable and less narcissistic. than those who are not as grateful. They're typically happier, have greater confidence in the support of others, and experience less stress and depression. Helping others to feel grateful will likewise increase their sense of well-being. So, I got a few suggestions for you if you would like to increase your gratitude and hopefully render you a happier, more peaceful person. Okay, so here are four things to consider doing. One, take time each morning to give thanks for someone or something, even one thing. Two, start a daily gratitude journal, writing even one thing that you're grateful for that day. Three, practice giving thanks and noting reasons for gratitude every day. Give thanks right then. Four, connected to this last one, express gratitude and say thank you at every reasonable opportunity. How often do people not say thank you to you? How often do you say thank you? Note the positive impact on your life, health, relationships, and sense of well-being. If you delay giving thanks until everything is the way you want it, when are you ever going to give thanks, let alone feel grateful? Let me give you a nice little parting thought about gratitude. This works. Here it is. I'll say this a couple of times. Practice giving thanks until you have it. Then give thanks. You may not initially feel grateful, but if you'll give thanks, you're going to begin to feel grateful, and then you will give greater thanks because you are, in fact, grateful. That may sound bizarre, but that's the way it works. Well, I think I've got time. I also had three poems in here, and this one is short. It's called Listen. This is sort of connected to what I just said. Listen. In times of stress or struggle, listen for the higher voice, the deeper voice, the quieter voice, the calmer voice, the voice of reason and restraint, the voice of wisdom and clarity. That voice is always present within you. If you but stop, cease wrestling, and listen. Just listen. If you are listening with too much doubt, temper that, even temporarily. Believe for now, this time, that a greater voice is addressing you. And behold, that faith will unfold. For truth reveals itself only in the atmosphere of listening faith. Oh, that's an important one. Let me say that again. For truth reveals itself only in an atmosphere of listening faith, when the heart is ready to receive it. When you believe, then you can love. And when you love, then you can do and be all that it is in you to do and be. Only then will you become an instrument of the Most High. Well, I hope some of that has been helpful to you today. I'm going to be putting this show on my website later today, or hopefully this morning, at drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. So please check it out. Have a blessed week. Be grateful, give thanks, and whatever you do, do not lose hope and listen to the deeper voice. God bless you.